Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, we're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, great to be here with you. Very excited about tomorrow. Very nervous. Today's going to be pretty loose and light. Little reflection back on the year that was. And then tomorrow, it all ratchets up. Is everybody ready? We ask, is everybody in? Because the ceremony begins tomorrow, 12:08 in Wrigley Field. And I, for one, am a nervous wreck about it. Can't wait, but I wish I was cooler and calmer and more collected about it, but I'm not. It's going to be me. I'm Woodsy, by the way. That's Paul Rhino, the executive producer of the program. Paulie is moving tomorrow. So a playoff game and moving. Do you want, and you just lost a pet. How about a divorce? Maybe you guys get divorced tomorrow as well, just to add to all of the stressors of the great stressors of life.
IRS audit?
An audit would be great. I swear to God on my life, that was the first. I was just about to say, maybe, you know, you want to audit my taxes or something? That'd be great. What else can we do?
What else?
Adam, hey, F you, buddy. You want to fire me? Like, let's just add that to the mix. Job.
Flat tire.
Ooh, flat tire.
In the morning.
Yeah. Maybe a major medical procedure.
Yes.
It's been a lot, dude. It's been a lot.
It's bananas, and you're just grinding through it, and I appreciate it. But that means you're out tomorrow.
Yes.
So who is in here with us? Is it the Kluganator?
I believe it is.
Bald Rindle will be filling in for you tomorrow.
Be back on Wednesday.
And you'll be back on Wednesday. Okay, good.
Got movers 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Nice and early.
You get some cash out to tip them?
Going to the bank today after work.
Okay. Did you take their food orders?
No.
Okay. Make sure you get their food orders when they get there at 8.
We were just going to go and create some snack bags, some goodie bags for them, waters, Gatorades, all
Remember,
that.
Adam tried to feed his movers pizza.
They requested tacos.
So they subbed out for tacos.
Hey, welcome to Klug's Diner. What can I get you? Yeah, okay. Over medium. Got it. You want bacon? Oh, no, sausage. You want links or you want
patties? How would you like your toast?
Yeah, how do you want your toast? Wheat? White?
English muffin. Okay. I'm going to go out and get one of those. But yeah, no problem. Yeah, we can do that for you.
I'm happy for you guys. You know, getting your new place, it's going to be awesome. Something tells me, you know, you're going to christen it the first night. I doubt it. My guess is no.
For the weekend.
Fairly long odds on that. On a Tuesday, the day of the move. Hey, let's break the new place in.
You mean like break a bottle of champagne the kitchen counter or something?
That's what I meant. It only happens in the movies, buddy. it's not real life. To my left is Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. And I got to tell you, Benny, I know you consumed... How many hours would you say of sports you watched this week?
Oh, a ton.
Like 24?
Golf, football, baseball. I mean, probably at least 18 hours of sports watching this weekend.
I was in between, as I mentioned, we had T-ball, we had soccer, we had football. Oh, I did not have to be the offensive coordinator.
Oh, you
Friday.
Didn't?
No, yeah. The coach showed up with like 10 minutes before game, and I'm like, here, dude, I don't want this. And we lost 30-12. So I told him yesterday, I go... You know, you could have just let me call, and I could have done that. I could have lost that game as well, but it was really a load off.
You were
off.
Prepared for it.
I was prepared, but I was a nervous wreck about it. So we did lose, but we had soccer, we had baseball, we had T-ball, and we had football. So as we would come home, I would watch whatever was on. The most entertaining other than the Ryder Cup, I would say, the most entertaining sporting event I watched was Aussie Rules Football, their Super Bowl. As it were.
There was a lot of good American
rules football
this weekend.
A lot of good college football.
I understand. I wasn't home.
You were watching Aussie Rules.
Friday night was their
who was playing?
Their Super Bowl. It was the Brisbane Lions against the Geelong Cats, and Brisbane won 122-75. Now, I'm not going to turn this into a...
What was the score?
122-75.
122-75.
It was like tied at halftime. If my memory serves, it was like 36 all at halftime. So the second half, I fell asleep in the second half. But what I was able to watch when I turned this on, because I was texting with my buddy Aussie Tony, who you guys know, and he said, check this out. I just left the venue. I'm at a house party now. And he told me, I've got money on this, I've got money on this guy. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch it. So I put it on. It was on ESPN. I can't remember, like ESPN2 at like 9 o'clock on Friday night. So I'm watching it. They finish up the first half. They go to halftime. And I'm like, all right, let me see the pomp and circumstance of the AFL. Let me see what it's like. How do they do their Super Bowl? Now, they kept panning to the arena where they played. I'm not even sure where it was. Australia. 100,000 people.
Good call.
100,000 wow. people packed into this circular place. And it got me thinking, what's the biggest Super Bowl? Turns out it was 1980 at the Rose Bowl, 103. But other than that, you know, your Super Bowl is 60, 70,000, right?
Correct.
Right. Yeah. 100,000 people. So I'm like, man, what a monster sport this is. Let's check out what these dudes do. They go in for halftime. They pan. They have cameras like in the room. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. These dudes are sitting on, in a room, just a big room, sitting on white plastic picnic chairs, just chilling, like waiting. A couple guys are on a training table getting massaged and getting taped. The rest of them are like, On white plastic picnic chairs.
Folding chairs.
They stack, but they don't fold. They're just white picnic chairs.
See them at like a wedding, maybe.
At a wedding,
an outdoor
maybe.
Wedding,
or an outdoor
yeah.
wedding.
Yeah.
Your aunt has them in her backyard. You know what I mean? If the stiff wind comes, it blows
like
them
the
away.
Plastic
oh,
ones.
Like the plastic. Like
super plastic.
I must have
ones.
Said plastic five times.
Okay.
Plastic, white, plastic chairs.
Well,
they're
yes.
sitting there. And they're not, they're just shooting the breeze. Like, waiting for the second. So then I'm like, all
there's
right.
like the nicer ones that look like they're like little wood planks.
Oh,
but
no,
the
no,
flat
no.
chairs. No,
just
I know
these,
what you want. They're like more rounded, like the
rounded,
big.
Yeah. You right. stack a bunch
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So they're sitting. No.
Not, probably there's, not a wedding chair.
There's no frills. And I mean, there's nothing on the walls. It's a. It looks like a torture den. And they're just chilling. And I'm like, this is the Super Bowl. So they're hanging out. And I'm like, what's their halftime performance? Next thing you know, they cut to like seven guys lined up. They do a race, just a sprint. Just that. I'm like, this is the Super League. All right, here we go. And there's like seven guys that run 100 yards or whatever meters. And that's it. Then they pan down to the bowels of the arena. And Snoop Dogg is there. And he's walking what? Through the bowels of the arena. So I text Aussie Tony. I'm like, when did he perform? Because I kept watching. I never saw him perform. Imagine the Super Bowl halftime show, and they just pan to the locker room, and Patrick Mahomes is in a white folding chair, just waiting. And then they have like 10 guys running a sausage race or something for the Super Bowl. There's a celebrity there. I don't know if he performed or not. It didn't show it. So I'm watching this.
Are they having financial difficulties in the league?
There's 100,000 people there. I'm going, how is this possible? You think about the U.S. and how everything is just pomp and circumstance. Over there, they're like, nah, mate, we're just going to chill, and we're going to go back out and beat the ever-loving crap out of each other. If I lived there, it would be my favorite sport. It was elite. Now, I was so tired. I was passing out, and I wanted to watch the whole thing because apparently I missed a hell of a second half. They scored 100 points or something. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that they're big. You might as well have a guy out in the middle of the field going, all right, heads or tails, everybody. It's heads. Like, it was like I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how, for as many people were packed in that place, as big of an event as it is, There's nothing. No fireworks. No nothing. It was like middle of the day. It was incredible.
Did it look like an older stadium? Or
it did. I mean, but it was, you know, it was a big, round, circular
place.
They had
like a video board at least or something. I don't know.
I see a video board. I swear to God I didn't. I'm sure they do. But I'm telling you, it was rad. It was really cool to see. I mean, no, and no, you know, no pads. No pads. They're beating the crap out of each other out there. It was really cool. And I thought, all right, that was fun to kind of learn about it a little bit and just to see the difference in the U.S. and how they do it over
they
in Australia.
Didn't have like a guy fight a kangaroo
something. No, yeah, a guy in a boxing gloves. It was crazy. It was crazy. And then, of course, we saw yesterday it came down. Paul, you're probably going to do it in the Rondo Report, aren't you, Bad Bunny? Yeah, you're going to do it in the Rondo Report. So I'll just save the rest. Bad
you can do
Bunny.
It here if you want.
Well, it's fine. We can do it in the Rondo Report. It's no big deal. Kind of out of time here anyway. But yeah, out of all the sports I watched, the Ryder Cup was far and away the best entertainment I saw over the weekend. But this was a close second. It was pretty fascinating.
That reminds me, you just mentioned the Ryder Cup. We talked about it a little bit during Don't Do This, and had to go back and pull a drop from Ben in that brief couple of minutes here. I did have that if you wanted to hear
it. Yeah, I do. I'd like to hear it.
I like it unshaved when it comes to Beth.
There you go. Can you clip it?
When it comes to Beth? Don't know anyone named Beth.
Right, clip just the...
I like it unshaved.
Perfect.
Perfect. It's a little tight.
Sounds good.
Still work.
Sounds good to me. What was your favorite of the weekend?
My favorite sporting event from the weekend?
Yeah, what was the one that got you the most?
I think...
USC losing to Illinois?
No, I actually didn't watch that one. I watched the Oregon-Penn State game
at the end.
That was pretty entertaining.
What was the game that had the... was it Friday night? There was a field storming? Or was it Saturday?
Did you see the guy get trampled?
Yes.
In the end zone?
Yes.
Is that guy okay?
That's the game I was talking about.
Oh, my God.
I have never seen... That was that West Virginia? Where was
that? West Virginia, right? Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night's game. I think it was West Virginia. I didn't see that one. I was not watching on Friday night.
I happened to have it on at the end.
It
was a great ending to the game, and I have never seen a field fill that fast with fans.
It was like somebody...
The ball hadn't even hit the ground yet, and they were pouring onto the field.
It was like somebody released a dam, and it just... It was Virginia, Florida State. That's right. Not West Virginia. Virginia. It was incredible. And there was a receiver laying on the ground. As everybody started running out, I go, there's no way that guy's okay. There's no way. So it was pretty nuts. That was a good game.
Personally, I kind of enjoyed the Giants beating the Chargers when I was watching on Red Zone yesterday.
Well, I picked it in the threesome. I'm like, bet against the Giants every time. I couldn't believe that they lost that game. How about the San Diego State Aztecs?
I did watch that one second
you
half.
You watched that game.
I did watch the end.
Six.
Well, I missed the first quarter, so I missed all the points. It was 3-3 after the first quarter. And then that was it for scoring until the last second of the game when San Diego State kicked another field goal to beat Northern Illinois 6-3.
Six?
6-3.
To three. As Brandon said, a dub is a dub. We don't complain about dubs, ever. Nice win, Aztecs.
The defense for San Diego State, other than the weird... Give up tons of points against Washington State.
Yeah.
Shut out, 3 points.
They've been good.
They've been dominant in three of their four games and are well on their way at least to qualifying for a bowl game this year under Sean Lewis.
Yeah.
They'll start Mountain West play on Friday night against Colorado State this week. So a quick turnaround, but they got the win. I mean, it's a road win too. So you give them credit for going on the road and finding a way to pull out a victory, which they hadn't done last year in a bunch of close games. And they did win. They tried to give it away by committing a dumb penalty. They gave Northern Illinois a late first down, but then they got a fourth down stop, got the ball back, drove down the field, and Placencia kicked the game-winning field goal. Guy's been perfect all season long. I think he's made his last 18 field goals dating back to last year, and they did pick up the 6-3 win. It's not going to go down in the annals of football history as one of the best games ever played, but I know Sean Lewis is not going to give that one back.
God, no.
On Saturday.
Sorry, Adam, that your Georgia Bulldogs lost to, say, an inferior Alabama team, as weird as it is to say.
That was going up right up against Oregon and Penn State. It was tough to go back and forth because both games were incredibly close down the stretch there.
It's a good weekend.
Did A&M
man.
Play? That was a good one.
Good weekend of college football. Really, really good weekend of college and pro football.
Auburn 16-10 over Auburn, and then last night's game was great, but then ultimately unsatisfying.
Massively unsatisfying.
Ending in a 40-40 tie on Sunday night football.
You got to fix
Cowboys
it.
And the Packers.
You cannot have a game like that end in a tie.
You just can't. You just can't.
I was watching the guys. Oh, they meet up on the field. They're all high-fiving each other, you know, shaking hands and everything. And you're just like, is anybody there happy?
No.
They're not mad because they didn't lose, but you're not happy. Everyone's like, good game. Kind of wish we could have finished that one out.
You
but,
are not.
Oh well.
You're not happy.
College football remains goated.
Overtime. As Melissa just said, I'll take a San Diego State Aztec score tomorrow at Wrigley Field. 6-3 Padres would be elite. Six.
Sounds perfect.
In baseball, you take that all day. In football, you're like, all right, we got a lot of stuff to work on.
Well, speaking of Padres Cubs, we will be joined by Jesse Rogers coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I still can't stop thinking about Craig's thought of starting Wandy Peralta in game two as an opener to counter some of those left-handed bats. Maybe bring it up with Jesse, see what he thinks about that and what the Cubs are planning to do pitching-wise. Craig thinks it'll be all lefties all the time against the San Diego Padres. So we'll get to that. First, though, we got one more week for you to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas to see the Eagles at the Sphere. Our first game of Take on Woods this week is coming up next. If you want to be our contestant, call in now, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Head-to-head musical trivia against Woods is coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, thank you, Benny, and I hope you guys had a great weekend. And I want to let you know, if you are currently trapped in a high-rate mortgage, as many people are, if you're watching a lot of your hard-earned money vanish every month, stop right now at Loan Pronto, delivering the lowest mortgage rates in 3 years. Their rate reduction home loan program, streamlined, low-cost way to slash your house payments by hundreds of dollars a month. Lock in that fixed rate as low as 4.99% APR. Close in as little as 2 weeks. No appraisal needed in most cases. Here's the kicker. You can skip your next two house payments entirely. Don't wait. Rates this low will not last. So call Loan Pronto now for a free, no obligation quote. Just give them a call. Loan Pronto is incredible. Lower payments, more money in your pocket, and a fresh start with a better mortgage. 619-207-4336 for that free consultation. Or go to loanpronto.com. Lock in your new low rate. Skip them, those next two payments. Don't let high rates hold you back. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. Right now, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wasting no time getting right to Take on Woods here. It is brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got David as our contestant today. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning.
All right, we'd love to qualify you for this amazing grand prize. It's a trip to Las Vegas to see the Eagles at the Sphere. Two tickets to the show on January 30th, a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort, a Vibe VIP package, and a $100 gas card. Check out all the dates for the Eagles residency at the Sphere at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here are the three categories we've got for you. For Take on Woods, you get to choose your favorite. We've got Times Tables. Those are all 5 2-second songs that include the word times. We've got I Like Take on Woods, 5 song titles that all include the phrase I like. And our new category, Rain in the Forecast, 5 2-word song titles that end in the word rain. So Times Tables, I Like Take on Woods, or Rain in the Forecast. David, what would you like to play?
What's the oldest category on the board?
The oldest category on the board is, I think, Times Tables.
Times Tables, yeah.
All right, let's do that one.
All right, Times Tables. These are all 2-second songs, so you're going to be identifying music and artists. And you'll get five. Then Woods will come in, get the same five. If you beat or tie him, put you into the grand prize drawing for the Eagles at the Sphere. Remember, Paulie's going to play a couple of seconds of music. You need to identify the song title and the artist to score the point. And every song title includes the word times in it. David, are you ready to play?
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock, Paulie. David, your time begins when Paul plays our first song, the category times tables. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
I know that's the Cars.
Yep. All right, song number two.
Come gather around, people.
I have no idea, Pat.
All right, song number three.
That's Good Times, Bad Times, Led Zeppelin.
That is correct. Song number four.
Foo Fighters.
Yep.
Pass.
All right, song number five.
Hope you're wearing your best clothes.
Pass, I have no idea.
All right, go back to song number one. You know it's the Cars. What's the song?
I don't know.
Song number two.
Go
back to the Foo Fighters. Give me this. Give me the song title. Times like these. You got that. Go to the last one. All right, we got two. We got two. That's not bad. Good Times, Bad Times by Zeppelin.
Couple tough ones.
Times Like These by Foo Fighters. It's Good Times Roll by the Cars. I think Woods is going to get that one. And The Times They Are a Changin' by Bob Dylan. Last one, very tough. Sign of the Times by Harry Styles. All right, let's bring Woods in. Dave, stay on the line. You got two locked in as your score. Woods will try again with the same five questions and the same 60 seconds. Doesn't get the category, but does get the knowledge that it's all two-second songs today.
Okay.
It's up to you to figure out what they all have in common. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on David.
Good time. Let the Good Times Roll by the Cars.
Correct. Song number two.
Come gather around, people.
It's Bob Dylan, and it's... I'll come back to it.
Pass. Song number three.
Oh, Good Times, Bad Times, Led Zeppelin.
Correct. Song number four.
Times Like These, Foo Fighters.
Correct. Song number five.
Hope you're wearing your best clothes.
That is Harry Styles. I love that song. It's called... Is it Sign of the Times?
Yes, it is. Yeah, song number two.
Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan.
Look at all the other four have in common.
Wait, times. Oh, the times they are changing.
Yes. But you did win 4-2 on times tables.
Well, sorry, I thought it was roll, so I got roll in my head, and roll, then it went, and no. I was like,
it was times.
I couldn't get it. Yeah. I couldn't get it out of my
good
head.
Good times, bad times. Good times, roll. Times like these, sign of the times, and the times they are a changing.
That's Harry Styles. Won't surprise you, didn't
I? Did you did surprise Dude. Me with some Harry Styles knowledge?
That song kicks ass. It's I don't know song. If there's a way. You can't look at it any other way. It's really good.
David, thank you for playing, but we will not add to the list of qualifiers for our grand prize today. We'll have another opportunity for you tomorrow, but we're going to take a time out because when we come back, Jesse Rogers, who is Mr. Chicago Baseball for ESPN, he's going to be all over this series. In fact, he's going to be on
Didn't
the broadcast
know he was
going to
be
team.
On it.
he'll be on the ABC broadcast for at least both of the first two games, probably all three of them. He will join us coming up next with news on the Cubs and more with Beto Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Another quick reminder this morning that 7 Mile Casino is our place to play cards. And honestly, we've been to other card rooms. I have. It's not worth driving out 45, 50 minutes and then driving back when you could be playing all that time at San Diego's best and closest card room at 7 Mile Casino.
You know, the older I get, I just like a more calm environment. I don't need a bunch of cig smoke blowing in my face and slot machines ringing in my ears. I just want to sit down, play some cards, have some food, and that's what 7 Mile Casino can offer, amongst many other things. They got all the best card games, Pai Gow, Texas Hold'em, Baccarat, and... California style blackjack.
It's good if you're just casual going with friends. You can hang out. They've got a full bar. They've got TVs everywhere. Just enjoy yourself. You can play the lower limit games. Or if you are a serious card player, they'll take care of you. They take high limit action for Texas Hold'em and California style blackjack. So it's kind of the perfect blending of both worlds. And that's why it's the best place to play cards in San Diego.
Check it out for yourself, my friends. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's get right to it, because I don't think we could have a better guest on this playoff eve than the person who's joining us now. He's not only one of our favorites to talk baseball with. Of course, when anything's happened in Chicago, he's the go-to guy, but he also is going to be part of the broadcast team calling the Cubs-Padres series on ABC, along with Kevin Brown, Jessica Mendoza, and Ben McDonald. Jesse Rogers from ESPN is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. And Jesse, we are very excited for the next 3 days coming up. A little stressed, too.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's pretty excited as well. Wrigley Field's really going to be rocking. First playoff games there with fans since 2018. So that's quite a bit. The last World Series, you know, not the last, the only World Series team they've had in 108 years sort of got broken up there in 2021. And it's been a slow kind of climb to get back to this point for the Cubs. So, yeah, I think everyone's excited. Both fan bases should be in for a really good series.
I don't want a good series. I want a blowout, Jesse. That's what I want. It's just literally one way or the other. I don't know that my heart can take it. But when you look at these two teams, certainly you can. I mean, look, you say on paper, because I think it is on paper, because once your regular season ends, everybody's hitting zero. Like Pete Crow Armstrong struggles don't exist anymore. They really don't, you know. And when you look at Dylan Cease's struggles, they're gone. And it's so nice for the player to be able to turn the page and go into October. And you look at it on paper, what do you kind of make of this matchup? What do you like? What do you dislike about it?
Let me go back to what you just said, and then I'll mention it, because I think it's a good point about starting over. And people just feel like, oh, it's all logical. What happened this past weekend is going to carry over to Tuesday. You know, I brought this up to Craig Counsell just yesterday, and I didn't know if this analogy would work. I presented it to him. And he absolutely agreed with it. And what I said to him was, is the difference between the regular season and the postseason kind of the same as spring training to the regular season? And he said, yeah, that's it. You can be so hot in March and suck in April. And the opposite can be true as well. It's the same thing here. I mean, everyone wants to be hot in the final week, feel like it'll carry over. Like emotionally, you feel like it'll carry over. But who knows? You could have used up all your hits last week. And sort of, you know, be struggling come tomorrow. So you just don't know. And that's part of the beauty of the sport and also the postseason, where every pitch matters. And it really is starting over 0-0 for everybody. ERAs, batting averages, everything. So don't pretend like you can predict what's going to happen, who's going to be hot the next 2 to 3 days. It's impossible. And that's the beauty of it all. But I view this match. I mean, there's a reason Vegas puts the Cubs as a slight favorite. I think that's the right call. They're at home.
Yep.
The Padres have been under 500 on the road in the regular season. But as I was just saying, you know, you can kind of throw that out. I think both lineups have moments where they can be pitched to. They can be pitched to. And I think the Laureano injury is a big one, because the Cubs are going to be starting through lefties in game one and game two. And Matthew Boyd especially is tough against lefties. Shota and Managa is a little bit more even splits. So I wonder if the Padres can muster up enough offensively to do some damage in these first two games where they've been inconsistent offensively and they don't have the extra right-handed bat in Laureano. So that's one storyline for me. Can the Padres be a little bit more consistent on offense against two lefties? I do think the Cubs need to get a lead. I don't think they're going to be able to sort of come from behind because of that Padres bullpen. I do think the early innings will be very important. Shota Imanaga gives up runs early. If the Padres get a lead in game two, that could be trouble for the Cubs. And I think the Padres bullpen is a little bit better than the Cubs. Brad Keller is their weapon in the back end for Chicago. And if they can get it to him, he's kind of lights out. But I do think early innings will be important in this series. And if the Padres can get to the lefties early, that could be the difference as well. I think the Cubs lineup 1-9, because Laureano's out, is better, has more speed, can win in different ways. And so if they start turning over that lineup and getting on the base paths and using their speed, that could be the difference there. So that's kind of my short version of it as I study this thing.
And we haven't heard anything official, but you're hearing Boyd, then Imanaga, and then maybe Tyone in game three? Or how do you think are they going to lay it out here?
Yeah, definitely Boyd and then Imanaga. Game three, probably Tyone, but it's such an all-hands-on-deck. It's almost like a bulk opener, in my opinion, in game three, whether it's Tyone or the wild card would be Colin Ray. I mean, I think the Padres have as many, like, you know, how are they going to deploy everybody after Pavetta, to be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think those are some good question marks as we move this thing along. But a lot of guys like to say after game one, it's kind of like, where are we? Are we in elimination in a negative way? So do we have to really go all hands on deck for games two and three? You know, I think you still have to save someone back for game three. Like you can't use everybody in game two. So these are things I think we'll find out about in the next 24 hours, if not in the next few hours, as both teams, you know, show up for workouts.
Talking to our pal Jesse Rogers here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, I not having watched a ton of Cubs baseball this year, how creative of a manager is Craig Counsell? We know Mike Schilt very well. We talk to him every other week. We've watched him win 90 games since he's been here. You know, we know kind of what he's about. Now, he does have the ability to surprise us every now and then. That being said, how creative of a skipper is Craig Counsell? And do you imagine it will be a scenario where he does deploy a lot of creativity?
No, I wouldn't say he's that creative. I mean, they have their, you know, they don't do a lot of platooning, so they kind of have their 1-9, and when healthy, they haven't really altered from that. He's moved around some of the lineup in terms of who's the leadoff man, and right now it's Michael Busch, who really did finish the season.
Man,
hot,
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been to hit 34 home runs at Wrigley Field as a left-handed hitter. That's not an easy task. Much easier power for righties there. You know, he talks about outs getting through a game in the 27 out realm. He doesn't talk too much about roles, and that's why, you know, even yesterday he was saying, like, throw out the word roles when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it really is out by out by out. So whoever starts, you know, could get six outs, could get nine, could get 12. That goes for every team. You shorten your pitching staff so much. You have days off in between. I mean, not in the best of three, but it's only up to three games. But as you move through the playoffs, there's plenty of days off to get rest for your, especially in the National League, for your relievers. So I he'll be aggressive in just trying to get an out in that inning, fourth inning, boom, try to get an out with a certain matchup, and he'll just keep doing that throughout. So I think that's probably the only, you know, interesting part where maybe the Padres guys have a little bit more roles. Brad Keller has a role. He's back end, high leverage. After that, it's really mixing and matching. They will absolutely deploy their left-handed relievers. I mean, they have five lefties, right, with the two starters and then three relievers. Those five lefties are going to get a lot of important outs in this series because the Padres are so, you know, lefty dominant. Outside of a couple, three guys, obviously those guys are dangerous, and Machado and Tatis. So, yeah, I think that's it. You know, think of how Counsell does this as sort of outs. Just he's going to try to get outs and not look at, okay, how long can the starter go? No, it's going to be like he needs an out. He's going to go get it. That's kind of the way I can describe it.
Jesse, last thing for me. They say pitching and defense wins in the playoffs, except when it doesn't. And bullpen wins in the playoffs, except when it doesn't. The one thing that, you know, I'm kind of pinpointing here for the Padres, how much do you think playoff experience matters? I mean, the Cubs have some. Kyle Tucker, obviously, a couple of guys. But Padres, both good and bad, they've had a lot of guys who have had experienced October at-bats in big series over the last few years. Does that perhaps give them a bit of an edge here?
I don't think it gives them an edge, but I think it allows you to throw out their below 500 record on the road for the regular season. I think in my opinion, this is why we didn't have a couple hundred win teams, because the ones that could have won 100 have been going to the postseason year in and year out. And I just feel like even if they didn't do it on purpose, the Phillies, the Dodgers, maybe even the Padres, not so much the Padres, but the Phillies and Dodgers, you know, held something back.
They
did. You know what I mean? Like,
they
didn't have to go full throttle the whole way. And maybe that includes the Padres. I don't know.
It does. I think it does.
We think they were a little throttled back the last month and a half or so.
So I think that's where it matters. Like, that's where you could throw out anybody that was struggling, below 500 on the road, because they've been there and done that before. But I don't really think it gives them an edge. Because there is Dansby. It was a whole bunch of young players that had never been there before. But look, Justin Turner is a coach in uniform. He's helped this team a lot. Dansby Swanson's a world champion. Boyd just pitched in the playoffs last year. Kyle, there's enough. Now, sure, PCA and Matt Shaw, every team has a couple of rookies that haven't been there. I just don't think it's the real edge that people might think. I just think that it at least you could say they won't be overwhelmed, or they were under 500 on the road all season. This is going to hurt them. Nah, throw that all out. They know what it takes.
Jesse, we're really excited that you're on this series again. You're one of our absolute favorites. And I know when you say something nice about the Cubs, all the Padres fans are going to call you a Chicago homer, but we know that's not true.
No, we know.
So we do appreciate you joining us.
No, I'll play it down the middle. Let me tell you, I know your guys very well. When they were in Chicago a couple weeks ago, I sat with AJ, I sat with Josh Stein, I sat with Mike Schilt. I total respect for what the Padres have done over these last few years, and we all agreed even 2 weeks ago if this was going to be the matchup, it was going to be a great one. So I almost wish it was best of five or best of seven.
Me too.
But this is fun. Yeah, this is fun too. And you know, you just can't get behind. I just think that's a big key. You can't get behind in any of these games, and especially if you're the Cubs, because you guys have a lights out bullpen. But the Cubs are pretty good there too when they shorten their pen. So I think early innings are going to be important. Should be fun.
We're really good at getting behind. So I mean, that's been like the mark of the last 6 weeks is like first inning home run. I mean, it's you can almost book.
How's
it.
How's the weather looking?
What's the weather look like?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked about all that because, okay, so the one benefit of me being Chicago-based is I've been to Wrigley Field for, you know, 30 years. It is a volatile place these days. The wind blows in a ton. The shadows starting at 2 Central are going to be interesting. The sun is going to be interesting. All of it. I mean, it is one of the most volatile places to play defense, and more so over the last couple of years. I've talked to many players about this. For some reason, the wind patterns have kind of picked up and mostly are blowing in. Now, you might get a rare day tomorrow. Who knows? It could blow out. The weather's supposed to be warm, definitely warm. But, you know, in terms of a 2 o'clock start Central time, wind, shadow, sun, kind of weird. It's an in-between start time. So I would imagine today is going to be very important for the Padres out on the field at a similar time as the game will be tomorrow. So all that, keep an eye on that tomorrow. It's been wild, even for the home team defensively all season long.
Yeah, I don't envy hitting at about 4:30 against Mason Miller and those sliders in the afternoon,
right,
in the eighth inning. That's not a good one. Jesse, thank you so much.
All right, guys, take care.
Jesse Rogers, such good stuff. Good insight on this series.
I'm shaking right now. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah, the whole interview made me shake.
Well, let's break down a little bit what we heard. Quick check of traffic.
And by the way, I got 75 and sunny tomorrow in Chicago.
That's what he said. Warm, but the wind could be
and the
a huge factor.
Currently, right now, 75 degrees, 10 mile per hour winds.
That's 10 is not nothing.
Volatile is the word that gets me.
I want to talk about that because the wind could be a huge factor tomorrow. We'll get to that next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, getting some people in the chat, Benny, asking about the Odyssey app. I did see our boss retweeted that the Odyssey app is down right now, undergoing some sort of maintenance or something. So please bear with us.
Stream on YouTube.
Stream on YouTube.
You can do that on your phone as well.
Exactly.
And just listen to the audio if you want. Or there are other options out there as well.
It's a good question here from Christy. Says, any recommendations for making it through this week? I literally feel like I need some Tums. Tums helps. I'll have my Tums next to me. I bought my my pack. That I just, you know, I don't smoke anymore, but playoffs, I keep
not
a
sponsor,
pack.
Tums.
No, I keep a pack just in case I need it.
Can we all agree the wind blowing in would be a better thing for the Padres?
Yes, 100%.
Nick Pivetta, flyball pitcher.
100%.
A wind, a nice steady 15-mile-an-hour wind blowing inward from Lake Michigan is thumbs up for Padres. You know, keep the ball in the ballpark. Padres like to put together, you know, line drive rallies. We know what they are. When they hit them, they tend to hit them hard. And they're, you know, like Tatis, he can drive it through that wind like he did this weekend, hit a couple of those. A blowing in wind is good news for the Padres, I would think.
How do you get through these games?
Pacing, mostly.
You pace. Pace. You're a mover. Paul, what about you?
Pace.
Pace.
Like stand up.
Stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down.
It's a lot of moving.
A lot of movement. I'm
hard to sit still and watch.
I like to rub Tums on my gums. That's what I do the whole time.
Snacker?
Oh, yeah.
I can't eat. No. I get
a
very,
panic
like,
snack.
My stomach does not want food.
I get a panic snack going, for
I'm the
sure.
opposite.
I'm going to try. So, good news is I don't have to go to my trainer all week because the games are right when I go to my trainer. But I did tell him I'll be doing my curls at home. So, I'm thinking about just doing workouts while I'm doing it.
I am excited to try the food at Park 101. Yeah. That's where our watch party is going to be
you
for game two.
You said you can't eat.
Wednesday. Well, before the game starts, I can eat. It's once the game starts, I'll be in trouble. But you can try it all. Barbecue, craft cocktails, and more. We're going to give away some autographed baseballs, all presented by Estrella Jalisco Light Mexican Lager. This Wednesday, Park 101 in Carlsbad Village. All the hosts are going to be out there. We got the Rindle Report and one final hour of Bennett Woods coming up next year on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.